Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news, and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.
You are listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. It is time for the Forest Takeover. You can have your say tonight. You can join us, in fact. Why don't you have your say on what you're seeing from Forest so far this season? Tweet us at Love Sport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. You can WhatsApp on the same number. Well, there is two games for us to look at now and talk about. Obviously, 0-0 with QPR on the weekend. What were your thoughts on that game? And then the brilliant but battling win over Cardiff last night. A man who knows more than me. It is the wonderful Chris Burton. Chris, always good to get you on. Two games now, 4 points, and it was a four-point return that actually, in the long run and the bigger picture, may count for more with your teams in and around you in those playoff places and races dropping points. What did you make of it?
Yeah, it was a good week, wasn't it? It felt after the QPR result as though that wasn't a great one for us and maybe you missed another opportunity, but and get the win at Cardiff, and like you say, a few other teams around you drop points and you start to feel a bit more secure in that top six, which at this time of the season is exactly what you want.
Yeah, absolutely. And we take it back to that first game, obviously, Chris, and that was 0-0 with QPR on the weekend, and you're thinking, QPR, we've dropped points here, we should be beating them, they're down in the league. But it was also on the same weekend where Bristol City lost, they actually lost again, Brentford drew, Fulham drew with Derby, so that result wasn't the worst one in the world, was it?
It isn't, now that we sit here now, looking back on it. I mean, at the time,
didn't feel brilliant. Panic stations.
Well, not quite panic stations, I suppose. But, yeah, it was another one of those that we just don't seem to be able to get over the line. And, we see more of the ball and you're against a team at home that you expect to roll over, and it just doesn't quite happen. But then we go away from home and do exactly what we've done all season away from home, so if we keep doing that, I mean, it's the wrong way round. Football philosophy says you win your home games and draw your away games, but if it's the other way round, I suppose you get the same end result in the end.
Yeah, I know, but it was a battling game. It could have been different. Lolly scored, but it was ruled offside. No VAR in the Championship, Chris. Fans may be calling for it, but then they may hate it, as the Premier League has done this year, where Nottingham Forest hopefully will be playing their football next season. What did you make of that decision?
Again, it was one of those that at the time you're sort of screaming and shouting at, but when you see it again, there's not a lot the officials could do. I mean, the ball moved before Lolly took the corner, and it was just massively frustrating on the day. I think we had 8 corners in the first half, and the only one we got right was the one where the wind blew.
It's so tricky, isn't it? I mean, but I just... We're looking out for Forest results and seeing how they're performing, how they're playing on all the match days, the weekends, the midweek, and we're also keeping one eye on those other teams in and around us. And I just really came away from Forest thinking that this was a two-game spell for them, where it actually leaves them in good stead. And one of the reasons why, obviously, was that 3 points against Cardiff. Not many teams win at Cardiff, Forest becoming the only second visiting side, Chris, to win at the Cardiff City Stadium in the Championship this season. And all I want to do, really, Chris, is break out old Thiago Silva.
Yeah, he was a true one, wasn't he? And you feel that type of player should be offering a bit more. So it was nice for him to get one. I'm not entirely sure he meant to put it where he did. But
it was a class finish, though.
They all count. Well, yeah, it looks it, doesn't it, when it comes off your shin and goes...
Chris, come on!
Well, I don't know, he stuck his leg out and it bounced off him or whatever, I don't care. As long as he goes top bins, that's fine by me.
Yeah. You're not having it tonight, Chris. I can't believe it. I've come in feeling the world of positivity with the other results, because it was on a night like that where Bristol City lost again, Brentford lost to Luton, Preston lost, and I'm thinking 3 points for Forest against Cardiff. This is happy, happy days.
Oh, it definitely was, yeah. I mean, in terms of result, yeah, fantastic. And again, after the first half, you got to half time and it was like, this is another slow start for Forest. And I suppose we should be used to that by now and keep that confidence. But we have, what, with the right up there in terms of second half goals this season. So you have to believe that it will come eventually, but it was one of them again. You were like, Cardiff didn't offer much, and it, you could tell they were there for the taking. We just needed to find that extra gear, and we didn't hit top gear, but in the end, as we have done so many times this season, we did enough. We could have had more. We didn't, but crawled over the line in the end.
Yeah, crawled over the line again. And it's fine margins in any sport, Chris, but certainly football. We're talking about Forest claiming that win. They don't get that win. Then we're talking about them being winless in four games. And it's just surprising how quickly little things like that can turn. The mood of the place just on that one goal there.
Yeah, it was huge, wasn't it? It was a result that we badly needed. And it's shaping up to be another big week, I suppose, next week, because we play last. We've been on the Monday night, so we know, again, how everyone else has done. And then we play Friday, so we play before everyone else. So on next weekend, by the time everyone else is getting into it Saturday afternoon, we could really, really be right back in that top two mix or looking over our shoulder again, which is what we seem to say on a weekly basis at the moment.
Yeah, and now we are talking about a Nottingham Forest team that are firmly in this playoff mix and, you know, still within that top two striking distance. But with the way the other results are gone, yes, I know there's still quite a way to go and anything can change, Chris, but you do have a 6-point cushion now, and I'm starting to feel, and maybe no Forest fan will want to say this, that their playoff spot is almost looking likely that, look, unless, you know, we really fall up here, we're in those playoffs.
Yeah, it's only natural, isn't it, that you start looking behind you maybe before you
start looking
in front.
They're allowed to slip with those 6 points.
Exactly, it gives you that bit of a cushion, doesn't it? And you start thinking, well, if we're that far ahead of seventh, then you can start looking at second. Right? Well, how far are we behind these two? And, yeah, top six is still, if you finish anywhere in those playoff spots, I think that's exceeded expectations at the start of the season. And then you're in the, you know, stereotypical playoff lottery and anything can happen.
Yeah, and what do you make of Semedo's impact, Chris? I know that you guys have been writing about him on the site as well. How impressed have you been of late of what he's been able to help the side?
Well, I think that performance second half against Cardiff was what you want from him. He hasn't offered it enough. He burst out the block when he right at the start of the season when he came in those first early games, West Brom, Leeds, and that. He looked like a proper player, and he looked like someone that could, you know, get up and down the pitch, get stuck in, and could really impact proceedings at both ends of the field. I don't think we've seen enough of that from him since then. I mean, I know he's had injuries and that, which haven't helped him. Other players, you know, Sambasayo and that have come in and sort of taken his spot. But he looked up for it against Cardiff, and that he was so injured again. He could be the one that steps in there because he is capable of doing a bit more than Ryan Yates. Ryan Yates is starting to look a bit one-dimensional a bit too often, where Semedo can do a bit more. And I think that energy and that drive and his willingness to get involved, and he was a threat in the air, winning thing, and he should have scored as well. I think he's edged to the front of the queue in terms of who sits next to Watson, certainly for the next game, if not the next few.
Yeah, and for you, Chris, why do you think that no one really at the minute, with those sides around you, actually apart from Forest, why does it feel like no one's really still emerging from that pack? No one's taking this player phrase by the scruff of the neck for you. What is it?
It's just the nature of the division, isn't it? And you're starting to get into a nervy sort of stage of the season, aren't you, where everyone realises what's riding on every result. And if you let a goal in, you know, heads start to drop and you start to get a bit twitchy and start looking at the table and that. And it's just human nature, isn't it? And like you say, there tends to be someone that comes from nowhere. And that could still happen. I mean, there's still a few teams going down towards mid-table that if they got their act together, strung 5-6 together, they could shoot up there as well.
Yeah, did you believe that though? Because we always see, Chris, normally one team emerges from left field, one team fades away, in the same with a relegation race. Are we seeing something, and maybe in the last, there's some twists here still to play out?
Definitely. I'd be amazed if it finished like it is now. I mean, 11 games to go. There will be someone that finds some form from seemingly nowhere. And like you said, there will be a team that really falls to pieces as well. And hopefully we've given ourselves enough of a gap and got enough belief and momentum in the tank that it won't be us. And as long as we can just hang on in, you know, 4th, 5th, 6th, that's fine. As long as we get over the line, that's all that matters at the moment.
Yeah, and how big of a player at the minute is Joe Worrall? Because, Chris, I know that you're saying he's a potential captain in the making. Always the centre-halves at Forest get judged a little bit heavier. But certainly what we're seeing, you know, in the makeup of his game, him, his personality, his persona, certainly looking like a future captain for this side.
Definitely, especially because he's committed to the new contract and it seems like he's going to stay. It's only a matter of time, I think. I mean, Watson's getting on. Watson won't be around for too much longer. Dawson the same. Watson might be around next season. Dawson probably won't be playing next season. It's Worrall's job for the taking. It's just a case of when, I think, not if. And I mean, he's been amazing this season. And questions were asked of him when he came back. You know, questions of whether he'd even stay. There was a bit of interest last summer. Did he have a role to play, given we had a whole load of centre-halves when he came back from Rangers? But Lumucci put his trust in him from pre-season and he's rewarded that and he's now, you know, the first name on the team sheet. I mean, he's exactly what you want in this situation. You know, someone who cares about the club, someone who's passionate, someone that you can guarantee will give his all every week. And he has become a leader and he's only young and plenty of potential still to be unlocked in him.
Yeah, absolutely, Chris. I'm just feeling excited, not only about Worrall, but at the team and the business end of the season, the home straight. Where will it end up and where will it end up for Forest? And what are you making of it? Tweet us at Lovesport Radio or call us 0208 7020 558. Chris's partner in crime, Lee Clark, is joining us for not only his take on those games, but a look towards that Monday night clash, as Chris mentioned, with struggling Middlesbrough.
Love Sport.
You're listening to the Nottingham Forest Fan Show on Love Sport Radio with me, Charlie Hawkins. Well, I was just joined by my regular co-host, Chris Burton, there, and delighted to say, joined by my other special co-host, it is Lee Clark. So much for us to talk about. Talking about those two games there, 0-0 with QPR on the weekend, but beating Cardiff in a massive game. Teams simply do not go to Cardiff and win away from home at the minute, but Forest did. How vital is that on their way towards the playoff places at the end of this season? Lee, always good to get you back on talking Forest. 4 points, always a good tally from 6, but a special tally when, as me and Chris spoke about, teams in and around you dropping points and having troubles.
Yeah, that was the big plus. I think for weeks now we've kind of picked up points and we've picked up good wins, but other teams have kind of followed suit and kind of you know, gone the same way as us. So it was nice to actually win and everyone else lose. I think that's going to be the difference. To be fair, I think the team that does eventually kind of emerge, I think Leeds are pulling away a little bit, but I think if any team's got aspirations of catching them, they've got to be the team that wins when the others don't.
Yeah, and this is the problem, because we're seeing, you know, we might be worried, not worried, but concerned that we don't beat QPR, a bit annoyed, frustrated from the weekend. But we've mentioned the results. Other teams around you, Fulham losing to Burnley, Brentford losing, Preston losing, Bristol City, 4 defeats in 5 for them. This is at a time that even when they are only picking up points and drawing, Forest are still making moves in the right direction, when maybe a couple of the other teams have gone backwards.
Yeah, and I think I've said before on this show, I think it's the nature of the beast with the league. Mm. I mean, you look at Brentford losing at Luton. I mean, people are saying Luton's a tough game all of a sudden. We went there and won. I mean, it's one of them sort of things. I think Forest fans just need to kind of take stock a little bit and relax. When we do get a bad result, it's not the end of the world. And I think we showed on Tuesday night that we are capable of following a somewhat disappointing result up with a really, really good one.
Yeah, and I just feel excited at the minute that the way this season is going to end and pan out for Forest. But there were other news for Forest, obviously. I think it's a move that we spoke about quite a few weeks back now, but it has been confirmed. Forest have completed the signing of Barcelona defensive midfielder Marcus McGuain, or McGann. Not quite sure he pronounces that, but he has signed, Lee. What are you making of the move now it has been confirmed?
Yeah, I think it looks a good one on the face of things. I don't think you play any game under Arsene Wenger if you've not got a bit of ability. So I think he, from what I've kind of read between the lines, he grew a bit frustrated with not getting more opportunities at Arsenal, and he decided to do what every young player wants to do and joins Barcelona instead, as you do. So, I mean, it can only be a good thing. A player that's played for Arsenal, been on the books at Barcelona, let's see what he's got. I would say I'm not sure what sort of, with him signing after the transfer window, I would have thought he can't play for the first team this season, but he's got plenty of games for the 23s to kind of settle in and let the coaching staff see what he's got.
Yeah, because that's what it said then, it's signing for the under 23, so we can't really see him anytime soon for the first team, and not really, you know, we thought a shrewd signing to help kick him on in this final third and make an impact for the team, but this won't be now till next year. But I kind of like this move from the Forest front office, Lee, in terms of, we know how big this season is, but already planning for the future still.
Yeah, I think that's something Forrest are always keen to do. I think what the work Gary Brazil's done with the academy is exceptional, to be honest. Obviously, he's got Chris Cohen and Andy Reid in there now who know the club inside out. So, yeah, that can only bode well. And I think fans will appreciate that, as much as it's taken a little time for, I think some people thought he'd kind of got lost on the way over to Nottingham. But now he's here, hopefully he'll make an impact with the 23s and hopefully we'll see him next season.
Yeah, absolutely. I for one think he will be, obviously, and make an impact for Forest. Exciting, and it's nice to know that he can sort of, they can bleed him in. They don't have to rush him. They don't have to throw him into the deep end. He can get used to Nottingham Forest, the way they play, the city and the fans, before hopefully stepping up next year, can't he? It's quite a nice way to do it. It's a little bit less pressure this way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think he's going to be, the under 23 is the top of the league. He's going to be going into a side that's full of confidence, and that can only bode well for him. I mean, he's been out of the English game for a little while, and I'm sure he'll be keen to use the last six or seven games that the under 23s have got to kind of show the watching first team staff that, you know, he can be part of pre-season training and stake his claim for a place next season.
Yeah, absolutely. Another player I did want to talk about was a player that signed this summer. Steve Hodge was saying that Bryce Samba, best keeper in the Championship. It's a strong, bold claim. Is it one you go along with, Lee? But what do you rate of Samba and his first season for the club?
Yeah, it was excellent. It's a strange one because I got a lot of stick. I did a team of the decade around
Don't
Christmas
tell me you
time.
Put him in already.
No, I didn't. I got sticks. I left him out.
Really?
I put Lee Camp in just because, obviously, for me at the time, Samba had played 22 games. I couldn't put someone in for the whole decade on 22 games. Yeah. But I think if he stays with Forest for the next, well, for as long as Lee Camp did, then he's 100% going to be in the team of the next decade. So he really is that good. All his attributes are fantastic. It's quite remarkable that we managed to pick him up for a little under 2 million, to be honest.
It's incredible.
Yeah, it really is. He's that good. He's so quick across his line. He's quick, you know, he collects crosses in the air from around the penalty spot, and he doesn't even look like fumbling them. He is that good. He ticks all the boxes. He's good with both feet, which a lot of people like. The goal, I mean, I'm a bit old-fashioned. I'd rather they can keep the ball out of the net than kick it to a full-back or a centre-back or 50 yards up the pitch. But he has got that string to his bow. So, yeah, Hodge is probably right. He probably is. I mean, we don't get the beauty of seeing all the other goalkeepers for a run of games, but yeah, he's certainly got to be up there.
Yeah, and we talk about, you know, Forest needing to sign a striker and other players that they have signed this year. And for me, it's kind of a move, not amongst the Forest fans, of course, Lee, but a move that has gone under the radar. We're talking about, if you've got a solid keeper, a solid back line, you know, how much confidence that just exudes to the defence and the rest of the team. And we always say a good keeper is worth 10 to 15 points a season. And maybe this is one of the sort of secret weapons, special ingredients that has gone unnoticed, and it's been a big benefit and help to the side.
Yeah, definitely. I think you've got to kind of start from the back. You've got to have a good goalkeeper. And I think what a lot of people don't realise is it's not just having a goalkeeper that's really good, but the fact that the keeper is really good typically makes the four players in front of him a lot better. It gives them that extra 10-15%, you know, to do their, they don't want to let the keeper down almost. So, I mean, you can see that the back four, the back five has stayed the same when they've been fit, they've played. And I think that is just as important as having grabbing at the top of the pitch.
Yeah, well, it's a Monday night game for Forest this time. The last game of the weekend for the Championship. It is against struggling Middlesbrough. 8 wins in 35 for them. They haven't won since New Year's Day. Really struggling at the minute. They're just outside the relegation zone on goal difference. You could argue perfect time to be facing Middlesbrough. Or are you always wary of the wounded Beastly?
Yeah, I think it's... It's a difficult one. I didn't actually know they'd not won since New Year's Day.
It's incredible.
I think sometimes Forest over the years have been really good at helping teams out, get rid of those little stats. But this Forest team's obviously a different beast this season, so hopefully it can be different. I did watch a little bit of the game last night against Leeds, and I don't think they were quite as bad as the league position suggests, to be honest. They've obviously got British Ombalonga as well. I'm adamant that he's going to score against his old club at some point. He's yet to score against us since he left. So hopefully it won't be this week, but we'll see. I think it's going to be an interesting game up there.
Yeah, they're really low on confidence. Rumours of wanting Woodgate out. The fans aren't happy saying jobs for the boys. Bielsa was talking to him last night, even trying to give him encouragement, you know, a little bit of constructive criticism. Not only have they not won since New Year's Day, they've lost their last three, and all by scoreline of 1-0. And it's been to the teams that are in and around them, losing to Luton, losing to Barnsley. Obviously, last night with Leeds was different, but they can't even beat the teams in and around them. You'd have to think that Forest are only going to add to this misery. It's another wonderful chance for Forest.
It is, and that's something we've got to grasp. We spoke at the top of the show about you know, winning the games when other teams lose, and we're obviously going to know what all the other teams have done by the time we play. So hopefully we can take advantage and get all 3 points. I've just got a sneaky feeling, though, that it's not going to be quite as easy as it looks on paper. I don't know why. I think when we played Middlesbrough at home, they were pretty poor for about an hour, and then we took the lead and they were absolutely brilliant for half an hour, and they could have actually beat us. They got a 1-1 draw, but they could have actually beat us. So, again, I expect a tricky game. I just hope that maybe we can, first 20 minutes, keep them tight, maybe score a goal and turn the Riverside against their own team.
Yeah, well, they're not making a lot of noise at the minute. Just before I get your prediction, Lee, just want to quickly touch on Lamucci. Obviously, I know that game against Charlton, he held his hands up, said he made mistakes, and after the QPR game, saying, "I've still got to learn, it won't be the last time I make a mistake." What are you making of Lamucci, not only in this first season, because we've obviously spoke about that, Lee, but in this running, because it's big for the players, and we don't want them to crack under the pressure, and Lamucci's first season in English football, will he crack under the pressure, because this is a tight big rate, and the expectations, as always, are high.
I don't think he will. I think what I would say is Forest fans need to just need to relax a little bit. I think time and time again he has made he's made little mistakes. He made a mistake at Wigan away, he made a mistake at Charlton at home, but typically we've responded emphatically. I mean, like you said, not many teams go to Cardiff and win. Everyone's leaving the ground on Saturday after a 0-0 draw with QPR, who, to be fair, aren't in bad form. They beat Derby the other night. They beat Stoke last week. So they can play under Warburton. But the atmosphere is doom and gloom. People are questioning whether we might be the ones that drop out of the playoffs. What do we go and do? We go and win at Cardiff and go third in the Championship. So I think that the message from me to fellow supporters would be to just relax. For the first time in many years, we're in a position where we could be a couple of games away from the Premier League. So if there's any fan that said they wouldn't have taken that in August before a ball was kicked, then quite frankly they're lying.
Lee Clark has spoken. Just relax. Third in the Championship. Everything is going well. Lee, a score prediction for Monday night against Middlesbrough then?
I think we will win. I just think if Woodgate's still there by the time we go, I don't think the players are playing for him. I think we saw when Leeds went ahead last night that they'd just gone. So if we can score first, I think we might be the team that gets a couple. I'm going to go for a 3-1 away win.
3-1 away win. I wasn't sure, Lee. You said, oh, it never really goes to the script. But you enjoy that stat of Middlesbrough not winning since New Year's Day, Lee. Always good to get you on and have a chat. How will that Monday night game go against Middlesbrough? It is absolutely huge for both sides. Forest continuing to push. Middlesbrough looking to get away from that relegation zone places. But you can always have your say. Tweet us at Love Sport Radio. or call us 0208 7020 558. The Forest Fan Show will be back at the same time every Thursday, 9 to half 9 on Love Sport Radio.
Thanks for downloading this podcast from Love Sport Radio. For more, go to lovesportradio.com for all the latest podcasts, news and views. Or for more, follow us at Love Sport Radio on Twitter.